Hello, this is Ron Stevens with Python 411, computer programming for everybody. This is called a mashup. I had intended to wait 2 weeks before doing another podcast, hoping to leave the interview with Michael Ford up for 2 weeks all on its own. And I believe that if you haven't heard that interview yet, you should go back. I think it's probably the highlight of this entire podcast series so far. It has had more downloads than any other podcast yet in the Python 411 podcast series, even though it's only been up for 6 days. And I was planning on not podcasting for another week so that would maximize its exposure. But a few things came up that I would like to say, and I have time and energy to say, so I'm going to say them. And it'll be a short podcast in that sense, a mashup of various topics. But again, I really stress that you should go back and listen to the interview with Michael Ford if you have not already. It's very, very inspiring. Well, the main reason that I wanted to do this podcast is because there has been some news of a sort breaking in the Python community. It's, I guess, one thing that I follow is the blog by Guido von Rossum, the benevolent dictator for life of Python. And, you know, sometimes it will go a long time without a post there, and other times, like now, you'll see several posts in a short, relatively short period of time. It's not the most active blog that you'll find, but it's probably one of the most significant, at least for the Python community. I think I mentioned that Guido posted on the topic of marketing Python a few weeks ago, which was unusual for him to do and interesting. But now there's been a series of about three posts that I would say have to do with Python, well, the future of Python, certainly, and in particular Python 3000. And I think the most recent post, yesterday or the day before, actually is titled Python 3000. And this is very significant. I know that in a podcast only a few weeks ago, I made the statement that I expected Python 3000 to be probably off in the future quite a bit, at least 10 years, I might have said. That was what was in my mind. And, you know, in this most recent post by Guido, and he'd been hinting at this, maybe a little more than hinting at PyCon when I heard his keynote address, but maybe I just didn't grasp it or believe it. But now he's saying that for the first time, he and his colleagues are beginning to work on Python 3000, to actually work on it, not just talk about what might go into the ultimate future version of Python, so to speak, but to actually start to work on implementation details. Well, or maybe not details, but implementation. Implementation. And so he's beginning to talk about it and even solicit feedback on his blog. And he also made the statement that he will be disappointed if there isn't significant progress towards at least a release candidate, or I'm sure he didn't use those words, but a solid offering of Python 3000 within 2 to 3 years. And that's kind of really fast in the world of programming language development. So even if it takes 5 years, I would consider that pretty fast and pretty significant. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I think that it is an example of the maturity of Python and the fact that it is so much further along than so many other languages of its type. And some people get very discouraged or concerned because Python isn't the only horse in the race. You know, there's other technologies, there's other languages out there, and there always will be, I believe. And so, you know, whether you're talking programming languages or any similar technological or cultural or sociological endeavor involving many people, whether it's a corporation, the growth of a corporation, or what have you, nothing grows in a straight line. Nothing has a straight line growth at a very steep pace. Sometimes you have to plateau a little bit and consolidate. And I think that the fact is that with Python 3000 to actually be worked on and to come out in say, 2 to 5 years, that is so significant. And we know that it will be done with such studious attention to quality and the firm foundation that Guido and the team have made down through the years, that we know it's not going to be something like the Pearl 6 disaster. No, it's going to be a solid, even more solid than the current Python platform. So I believe that this will generate a new growth spurt for Python. I you know, nothing's certain in this world except death and taxes, but certainly I believe strongly that the new impetus to work on Python 3000 will result in a growth impulse for Python at some point in the next few years, and probably start building on that growth already with the excitement of Python 3000 coming along. And so I encourage you to pay attention to Guido's blog. I guess I should put a link to it, although I'm sure you can find it. It's on Artema, and you can Google, of course, in this day and age for anything, and you can Google for Guido von Rossum, Python, and weblog, and I'm sure you'll find it. So I encourage you to follow along and read and maybe even contribute your thoughts, your ideas, and your opinions on that blog. And it's a very serious blog. I don't think you should post there frivolously or lightly. I've only posted there once, I think, or twice in my entire life, and both of those were in the single thread of Python marketing, which Guido initiated maybe a month ago, and that's the only thing I ever felt competent to post. And even there, I was very hesitant and thought out my thoughts very carefully. But for those of you who are expert in a particular area of development with Python, you might have technical opinions, which would have great value for Guido and other core language implementers to read. And the blog would be a very appropriate place to do it. So there, I really wanted to bring that to your attention. It's what I would consider breaking news. It's not exactly news of the sort. It's not an event. It's more important than an event. It's a process. It's a cultural process of a very important nature. And I really respect and appreciate the deep work that's going into that. So, okay. And on top of that, we're very close to the release of Python 2.5, and there's been some very serious progress and consolidation there. So some of the new ideas, Guido is posting on some particular new ideas that I'm not going to try to describe because they're brand new. And, I'm not going to even attempt that at this point. But some of these things he's posting on in his blog are not going to be part of Python 2.5. No, they're proposed to be someday part of Python 3000, someday not so far off. But Python 2.5 itself has some very big breakthroughs. I talked about them a little bit in a recent podcast after attending PyCon and hearing Guido's keynote address, which talked somewhat about Python 2.5 and the innovative features there. And you can read about it on the python.org website. And so the excitement of Python 2.5 and ultimately the new development work on Python 3000 is going to make Python more powerful and more stable and ultimately also faster. And then there's the other programs going on like PyPy, the implementation of Python in Python, and other work to build fast compilers for Python. So Python is about as far from static as it can get. I would say that Python is very dynamic. Well, there's a play on words, a Freudian slip. No, Python development is vigorous and ongoing, and yet sound and careful. So what a healthy community we partake of. Even, to whatever degree you partake of it, it's still a wonderful thing, and you're in a wonderful community and a great future. Okay, enough said on that subject for now. Okay, one thing that subsequent to my interview with Michael Ford last weekend, I have downloaded his latest release of FireDrop and also just about all of the latest plugins that he is publishing on that. And I just want to say that FireDrop, under his leadership, has really progressed far from when I started using it. And I really, again, encourage people to try it out. I think it is a perfect little program for people to, if you're looking for a way to cut your teeth on an open source project, you know, nothing better than FireDrop is likely to come along because you can use it. It's cross-platform. I use it on the Macintosh, on Mac OS X. I've used it in the past on Linux and on Windows. So you can use it on all three. I can attest to that. And it has an innovative, easy-to-use plug-in architecture that Michael created. So you can write plugins for it relatively easily, and it's very Pythonic and runs on – it has a GUI which runs on WXPython and WAX, which is the Hans Nowak add-on to WXPython, which makes it more Pythonic. So I think it's a wonderful program, and it would use – you could learn skills in GUI programming and in internet programming, in FTP module, which is used for uploading, and text processing, you name it. A lot of good stuff. So I recommend FireDrop. And along those lines, my blog has been relatively inactive for 3 months, probably. Not completely inactive, and that's the longest it's ever gone with that low level of activity. So what I've done is, as of today, and I'm doing this on Saturday, April 8th, I have sort of topped off the old blog and directed people from there to a new blog. Now, the old blog, it may get a post from time to time, but the new blog, which I'm calling the Aware Tech Mashup, will be the primary area of activity, and I just began it today using all of the latest FireDrop tools, which makes it easier and potentially more powerful. And I call it the AwareTech Mashup because I am going to try to do different things with it. I may ultimately publish podcasts to it using the podcast plugin module. And so there's lots of activity that will go on there, and you might want to check that out. So those are some notes and comments. Two other news items I want to refer to quickly before I talk about the near-term future of this podcast series. On the tutorial front, as most of you probably know, I have this this fetish for finding all the Python tutorials I can find and cataloging them and putting on my Python tutorial page. There's well over 300, and you know I may stop enumerating them at this point, but I do try to keep it up to date and call the dead links. And thank you for people from time to time send me in suggestions and point out a dead link or two, and it's very helpful to me, actually. But two tutorials came to my attention in the last week that I put them at the top. Instead of putting them in categories, I put them at the top as new items, and I want to bring them to your attention. One of them is it's really the oldest tutorial of them all, or the most significant of them all. It's the Guido von Rossum tutorial from the website, but it, for the first time, is in a wiki format, and it looks like it's getting a lot of activity to update it in the wiki format, and I put it at the top. It's the Python tutorial in wiki format, and I encourage you to try it out and maybe contribute to it. And secondly, there is a new tutorial for absolute beginners, which I thought was quite nice for absolute beginners, so I put that there too. And, one other thing. Robin Dunn, his new book, WXPython, published by Manning. I don't know how much I should say here. I was offered a free copy by a publisher to review it, but, you know, to write a formal review, but I didn't take that offer. I didn't buy it either yet, but I spent a couple hours with it in the bookstore today, and you know what? It's a really quality book, and I learned a lot just from reading the chapters that I chose to read, and I really wanted to read up on PyCrust because although I've used it, it's not something I was real familiar with. And, you know, it's a very quality book, WXPython book by published by Manning, written by Robin Dunn, and I forget the other gentleman collaborator's name, I'm sorry. But you know what? If you're really into GUI programming and you want to learn more about WXPython, it's another good book, which is another advantage of this great community we're in. There's a lot of good books and reference material. Now, I want to say I am going to do further interviews. I'm definitely working on lining some up, and you can look forward to interviews in the near future, you know, of Pythonistas that you will recognize. Some you won't recognize, but you'll learn a lot and be directed to their websites and to some of their open source projects and learn about the communities in various countries around the world who are using Python innovatively. So a lot to look forward to there. And finally, I guess the final part of this podcast is I want to make another appeal to those of you in the audience to possibly do a guest podcast on a subject of your interest or to volunteer to be interviewed. If you have a story to tell, it could be an open source project using Python or a local Python community that you feel is worth talking about, and any community is worth talking about in my book. And if you're willing to be interviewed, I would love to do it. It's very easy and painless. I usually do the interviews on the weekend, either Saturday or Sunday. I call you or Skype you, and we do it that way, and it's very simple. So I make that appeal. I also welcome inputs by email and comments and suggestions, which are often very helpful to me. You know, I checked out on Podcast Alley, and okay, one last comment. This is trivial but interesting to me. Hey, you know, I follow podcasts in other languages, programming languages, just to see how they're doing. And I think I was one of the first. There was a Perl podcast before mine. It's the only one that predated mine that I was aware of, really. And that podcast seems to have died. You know, it for the last 3 months, there haven't been any further podcasts. But in recent months, in the recent year, many, many podcasts have sprung up on many different languages. And I noticed that several of them have gone the way of the dodo bird. And, you know, I think this podcast series is quite strong and represents the community reasonably well. And on the side of the other R language, or the R language, as I say, that bothers people, there were several podcasts that came out about that language. And in checking up on them today, it looks like most of them have died, or the few that are still available are very, very sporadic and not very well listened to, it looks like. So the only one that seems to be strong is the Java Posse. So there is a strong Java podcast out there, which for the first time the first time in many, many months, in this month of April, it seems to have more votes on Podcast Alley than does Python 411. So no big deal. But if anybody wants to vote for Python 411 at Podcast Alley, you know, it would why let Java Posse be up there? At any rate, thank you for listening. Stay subscribed, and I'll work on some good material for you in the very near future. And thank God for our great programming language community. So for now, this is Ron Stevens with Python 411, computer programming for everybody.